Thanks, everybody. Take a seat. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming today. Great to see everybody here in person. And welcome to everybody on Zoom. We're so glad you're joining us as well. My name is Matthew. I'm the lead pastor. I also wanted to say, you may or may not know, we have our annual meeting right after the service. I just want to say everybody's invited to that to stay on, including on Zoom. Just stay on the call and we'll go right to the annual meeting for a very short break. Today, it's third week of a series called A Few of Our Favorite Things. We started off with our Harvest Festival service, talking about we love food, right? We love to eat and grow food. And then last week we love to serve together. Thank you to everybody who came out for our service day. Got lots of great things done, went out into our community and served on the property as well. Today I'm gonna talk about creativity. We love to create. There's something inherently creative about spirituality. You know that video we saw at the beginning of the service, and this sense of God bringing diversity out of singularity and light out of darkness and reconciliation out of division and love out of hatred. And there's something incredibly creative about God's love. We're going to explore that a little bit today. And we're going to have a conversation, a chat with two people from our community. The first one of those is somebody who I think we all know, Kevin Richards. So he's going to come up. Let's give Kevin a round of applause. So Kevin is very creative in our community. He's been really helping us with all our video challenges, with live streaming our services, I mean, week in, week out, so we really appreciate that. You're also, you do a little bit of acting, right?
Yeah.
You're actually acting in a show at the moment. Tell us about
that. Actually, I'm acting as, right now I have two parts. I'm a person called A Background. It's an HBO show that's gonna run. It's gonna run on HBO first part of next year. It's called We Own the City. It's about corrupt cops in Baltimore. It's a group of guys that I actually reported on when at the Baltimore Sun. And I play actually a reporter, a TV reporter. So I've been doing some acting there. And then also I've been playing the background person just as scenes happen, just walking through backgrounds and things like that.
So you're kind of a celebrity, really. Yeah. Anyway, so you love to paint. We're going to talk about that a little bit more today. You also do a little bit of stand-up, right?
I mean, we're good at
that. You have done your part on there. So anyway, lots of different things that you do. And you're a long-time member of Cedar Ridge. How long have you been at Cedar Ridge?
I think Gina and I first came to Cedar Ridge in 98, correct?
Wow.
Gina. I think it was 98.
So you've seen a lot of things over the years, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
cool. So tell us a little bit. So, I mean, painting's one of your passions, right? And that's probably one of your major creative outlets. Tell us a little, how did that all start? When did you know you were a painter or that you enjoyed painting? How did all that?
I can probably think back to kindergarten when I had a kindergarten teacher named Ms. Clay who actually told me that I was a really good artist. You know, as a kid, you think everybody can do the same thing. And she would tell me, you know, there are other kids who can write their name great. There are others who know their addition. But you are a really great artist. And so that really encouraged me. I'm going to get on my soapbox for 1 second. I want to thank all the art, actually all the teachers out there that encourage kids that impart things to them over the years that that help them change the trajectory of their lives. And I want to commend you all for all the work that they do.
Well, and especially in the current climate, right?
Yes.
Teachers.
Yes.
Actually, let's give all our teachers a round of applause. We're going to talk to them a little bit later. But, and especially at such a young age, right? I mean, that was really young.
Yeah.
That had a massive impact on your life.
Oh, it did. I mean, all through elementary, all through middle school, teachers would tell me that. And when I got to high school, I had a really great art teacher who really told me that I could really do some great things in art. And she really pushed me to go to college and fill out all the applications. I got an art scholarship, and it was all because of her.
Yeah. You know, that's so cool. Yeah. So I imagine that probably we're all creative in different ways, right? But I imagine that we're probably all creative in different ways. You know, we all have different gifts.
Yes.
Yours got called out in you and encouraged. But I would imagine also you had some inhibitions, right? I mean, there's some fears and confidence issues whenever you express yourself creatively. How have you overcome some of those as you've gone along?
Well, it's great to have a wonderful wife like Gina, and she's also an artist as well. So she is there to encourage me, and I'm in there to encourage her. But, you know, growing up, I wasn't always pushed to go towards art, you know. Most people saw artists as, you know, it's always the stereotype, the starving artist. So, I had parents who tried to push me towards the military. Nothing wrong with the military, but there was nothing there for me. But I had, like I mentioned, the art teacher who really pushed me, and I was, you know, winning awards and national awards and things like that. And so I knew that where my talent lied, but there was somebody else, other people in my ears telling me, you need to have a career and make money. Yeah. You need to have a job. And
people said that to me when I became a pastor. The same thing.
Yeah. You need to get a real job.
You should be a doctor. But no. So you know, you have those individuals who tell you these things, and the fear comes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good to have, you know, faith and. Because faith.
Well, I guess the point being, the fear is a reality, right? I mean, so there's always a risk. Whatever you do, whatever you create, there's that, it involves risk and having to wrestle with fear and confidence issues and that kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about some of your work. I think we've got some slides, actually, haven't we, of some of those.
I know one of the pieces that I recently did, you know, when I try to do work now is I try to do work that brings me joy, that also express things that I love. This past summer, I was approached to paint a painting of Michelle Obama, and I was commissioned to do that, and I loved it because I realized, you know, I saw the work that Barack did, but I knew there was somebody behind Barack that helped him be the man that he is, and it was great to be able to paint her. And do this commission work, because I know she had to go through the same things he had to go through. Mm-hmm. You know, she had to be the ear, you know, when he felt like he had no one else to talk to. You know, mm-hmm. So I know that she felt just as important as he did, and the work that he did. So it was great to do to paint her. Also, just before I painted her, I did one of Harriet Tubman, mm-hmm. Who. Did so much for. I mean, this is a person who came from slavery, who did so much for African Americans, who were slaves and led them to freedom. And so I wanted to paint her, because just to honor her. And it actually, for 6 months, it was at the Harriet Tubman Museum in Dorchester County at a museum. And recently, it's right now at the Busboys and Poets restaurant in Columbia.
Cool. So you can go. We can go and see it.
You can go see it now. Yeah.
That's so cool.
So that's where it is.
Yeah. And I mean, it strikes me interestingly. I mean, you know what you were just saying there earlier about the fear and risk and that kind of stuff and needing encouragement and all those kind of things. As you think about the people here you've been painting, that there's a creative element to leadership. There's a creative element to leading for justice. Right. That. It's you have to overcome fear, you have to overcome obstacles, find new ways of doing things, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but that's a different kind of creativity. You're painting something at a very personal level, but there's something social, something corporate going on in the realm of leadership. You painted Barack as well, I think.
I'm actually presently painting a painting of Barack Obama. They sent out a request for artists to have pieces to go in the Barack Museum. I mean, Barack Library, the Obama Library in Chicago, and they sent a call out for artists. And I decided, instead of painting Barack, because there's been thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of paintings of Barack, I wanted to do one of a young Barack with his hero, his mother. And so I'm going, I just started this piece here that it's a Barack and his mother. It's, I think he was about seven or eight years old, sitting on the lap of his mother. And so when I'm done with that, I'll share that.
So that's a work in progress. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about some more, I mean, those are perhaps more serious topics. I mean, you've painted other things as well. I mean, you've actually done quite a bit creatively here at Cedar Ridge, right? I mean, over the years. I mean, tell us a little bit about
Some of the things that really resonate with me is the work I've done. I've done a series of paintings, and I think I shared this one time before on title In Christ's Eyes. And what it was, what they are paintings where is what Christ saw when he walked the earth. And so I did that series of paintings that's there when he reached out to Peter, when he walking on water, and when Christ actually was walking into Jerusalem, then people laying the palm trees down. But I tell you, one of the greatest things that I love to do is to connect things that I love, you know, my family, the church, and art, and to be able to combine several of those things, elements, and combining the church and art together, I really feel a connection there.
And you did, I mean, you went to Guatemala, you did some artwork out there.
Oh, yeah. I was able to, Gina and I did about a dozen murals in Guatemala 1 year, where we were there for about 10 days, I think it was about 10 days, a little more. And we had a couple of people from Cedar Ridge from different times who would come and join us. And we would paint these murals. And so it was really great to be able to be there representing, you know, the church here, being able to go to Guatemala and to be able to paint as well. Yeah. So it was great.
And then tell us a little bit more. You've had some more unusual works of art, or you've written a few books, I think, and you've done some more public work.
Yeah,
around the country.
I've had several of my pieces published in three books, my artwork. I've also done, if anybody's familiar with cows that were in Chicago, they had hundreds of cows, these huge cows in Chicago that were painted. I remember being in Chicago when that actually happened. I was there for a newspapers association, and I spent more time walking the streets than I actually went to the event, because his art was just art. It was just life-changing. And so when I got back here to Maryland, other cities start doing the same thing. And so I have been chosen to do 29 different animals around the nation. So I've been able to paint those things as well. These are just different ones that I've done in different places. So that was a joy to be able to do that and display the work that I,
So tell us, so you used the word joy there, and we're talking about a few of our favorite things. I mean, so art is one of your, or painting, let's say, is one of your favorite things. How does that relate to your spiritual experience? What's going on for you as you enter that creative space?
I would say it's such joy to be able to know that God's given you a gift that you can express. And you know, it's a tangible thing that people could see. Like, that's why whenever the church calls and asks me to do anything, from working in the booth to acting here on stage to painting, I painted one painting I donated to the church that we raised money for Guatemala for a trip. To be able to do that brings such joy, to knowing that I'm able to do something to please God, you know, and because he's given me so much. And that just brings me joy.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, we're really grateful for it, Kevin. And, you know, all the work you do in the booth that you mentioned there, very, very practical, very real. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got this incredible gift.
Yeah, that was one piece that I did that it's weird. I donated this piece. I love this. I normally don't do still lifes, but I did the still life. I donated it. And I kept telling Gina, I want to buy it. You know, and she's like, no, that's not the point. Somebody else has to buy it for the money. But I'm like, yeah, because sometimes as artists, we don't want to hold on to our work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we paint it and we sit it in the studio. But then, you know, it reminds me of the scripture that talks about a man, you know, that lighting the candle and you put it on the bush instead of putting it on a candlestick, mm-hmm. the light, you know, the yeah. rum. I think a lot of times artists try to take their work and keep it to themselves. Mm-hmm. But I realize now more and more that there's more joy in other people seeing your work and expressing how much they love it. You know, that, you know, you can't have anything better than that. Yeah. You know?
That's so cool. Thanks, Kevin. We'll look out for you on HBO. Okay.
Thank
all right.
You, thank you, thank
Let's give Kevin
you.
A round of applause. Thanks, buddy. So next up is Rebecca Stryker. Where's Rebecca? You're going to come up. Here she is. Let's give Rebecca a round of applause. So Rebecca, we all probably feel like we know Rebecca because we see you up front here a lot of the time. So, you know, obviously you're a great singer. You lead worship here. You've sung in... I think it was probably our last coffee house actually before the pandemic,
yeah,
wasn't it?
I think it was.
You sang at our coffee house. So tell us a little bit about how that started for you as a gift. I mean, when did you first become aware of that? And, you know, how did all that happen?
So, I mean, singing started probably like everybody in church. I started singing. And when I started to learn to read music in the hymnals, you know, that was really exciting to me. I would sing with my grandfather and my mom, who just sang boldly. So I think that helped a lot. But it was a teacher, not unlike what Kevin said, a teacher who saw that I had something and, you know, put me forward to sing a solo at something, you know, and I was mm-hmm. 8 or 9, you know, and completely terrified. But I think that's what started is, yeah.
So you say you mentioned the word terrified.
Terrified is
so again, coming
yeah.
back to that, like yeah. it seems that goes along with gifting. Creativity is this sort of self-doubt or lack of confidence, or fear
oh, yeah.
about expressing yourself. So.
Oh yeah, just a fear of messing up, a fear yeah. of judgment, a fear of, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. It's so much safer to be singing in a choir with a group, you know, it's,
yeah.
if you mess up, you don't notice as much, but when it's just you out there,
yeah.
you're really being very vulnerable with what you're trying to do and that can be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about singing and like how you experience God through singing, how that's a creative process for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I mean, for me, singing is joy. It's like for me getting to play. So I just kind of feel connected to God in that way. I think harmonizing is just my favorite thing in the world to do. And I love that I get to do it every, you know, whenever I'm up here with Brian and it feels like we're just getting to play. You know, usually the process is one of us gets to picks to who does the harmony and the rest of us just get to play around that person, you know, one person does a melody and everybody else just figures out the harmonies. And when it works, it just ticks all the boxes in my heart and, it does feel otherworldly at times. And it really, I mean, to think that God created harmony, it just feels very spiritual and just so cool
yeah.
to me.
I was interested when we were chatting about this a little bit before, you were
yeah.
saying that in many ways you don't feel all that
yeah.
creative when you're
yeah,
singing
yeah, yeah.
apart from when you're harmonizing.
Oh, I mean, so true. Because for me, when I sing, I feel like I'm just, you know, I heard someone sing the song, so I'm just trying to do what they did. So I don't know if that feels terribly creative because it's kind of like, you know, Kevin's an amazing painter, but if he made a paint by number for me, I could probably color in really nicely. You know what I mean? But that's kind of what singing
feels like.
Feels like. Yeah, but I also have a very, not very, I have a mathematical brain. And so in that way, like if I'm getting it right, like it
yeah.
gives me pleasure,
yeah.
you know?
So that, I mean, again, that's interesting. You think about it from a social perspective, it's the interaction with other people
yeah.
that's the creative process for you, or that's what's most enjoyable.
Definitely.
Because
you can sing the words on the page. You know, I sing all in the car all the time by myself, you know, and stuff like that. But it's always more fun when it's together with other people. And when it's beyond just the music, you know, when you're adding dynamic, when you're adding just something that gives it more depth, to me, I think that's where the creative element comes to it.
Yeah. You mentioned you're a mathematician.
I wouldn't go that far,
okay,
but I teach middle schoolers math, yeah.
So tell us about that, because I mean, that's got to be, especially at the moment, got to be especially challenging. I mean, and I'm sure challenging at the best of times, but
yeah.
How is that a creative process for you, teaching?
To be quite honest, I kind of feel more creative when I'm teaching than when I'm doing music, in a sense, because when it goes well, and it doesn't always go well because you're dealing with 30 humans in a room and yourself. But when it goes well, it's so much more than me just teaching a kid what to do. I really do try to have them, you know, pull it out of them and have them contribute. So can I give dumb example, but
no,
like, so this week I was teaching ratios, middle school math, everybody, teaching ratios and like, okay, so we start off by talking about just food shopping and how do you get good deals, right? And that kind of gets them excited and into the conversation. And, you know, I shop at Costco, my mom has coupons, you know, and stuff like that. So then I feel like I'm almost conducting an orchestra, you know, because it's like, okay, I've got them here. They're relating to this concept. I'm like, okay, well, I bought 5 avocados for $4 the other day. And they already know how to find out how much one costs. They just know from just figuring that out, instead of me just being in the front of the classroom saying, this is how you find the price of one, you know, like, so it's more like this kind of weaving and collaging and sculpting so that we have this experience so that at the end of the day, they know how to find the unit rate. Sorry, that's a really boring example, but this is my job.
Yeah,
this is what I do. Yeah.
That was very creative for a math teacher, right?
No, we do it with
So you're, yeah, so you, and you use the terms weaving, sculpting. I mean, it's like you're sculpting the kids, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's something, you're seeing some potential in them that you can draw out.
Yeah, and it's so much more powerful if they're bringing their stuff to the table instead of it just coming from me. You know, to engage them is half of, is most of the challenge with sixth graders, you know, to engage them and to keep their thinking with me and to get them to that point.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that's especially true when you're teaching, but I think for all of us, that's true. Every interaction we have, every relationship, every intimate relationship, every relationship with a stranger, there's this creative opportunity where we get to bring out good or indifference or whatever, you know, but there's those creative opportunities. Again, I go back to that video we watched at the beginning of bringing good out of bad, light out of darkness, and doing that whatever situation we're in, wherever we are. Let's come back to the church context a little bit, because you lead worship here, right? You're one of our worship leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that experience. And from, you know, do you feel creative when you're leading worship? I mean, is it comparable to teaching in some way?
It's a little different. Like, I feel, you know, I can't, when I'm teaching, you know, I can't be like, or when I'm up there, I can't be like, you know, Fred, are you paying attention? You know, and Susie, get off your phone and that kind of stuff. You know,
Tommy's never paying attention.
Right.
You've got to keep an eye on
him. Honestly, right? So there definitely are similarities, but I also kind of feel like my hands are tied because I'm up here, you know, and not really engaging as much as I do in a classroom. But I think the spirit of it is the same. Like, I just want authenticity, you know, and so that's what I hope to, you know, that's what my prayer is before every time. That's what my hope is when I'm up there. And so I try to get to myself to that point of just authenticity and sincerity and just listening to those words and processing those words and just kind of hoping the same upon everybody here, that they would experience God just from wherever they are, you know, from their experience to meet it in a genuine way. So,
And that's pretty vulnerable, right? I mean, that must feel, because you don't have, not that you have full control in the classroom probably, but you have an element of control and and people have to be there, right? Yeah. The kids have to be there. Whereas I don't think anybody felt they had to be here this morning necessarily. I mean, maybe right. somebody got dragged here by a partner or something. But there's that sort of, you're dependent on a response, you're dependent on yeah. people cooperating, if you like.
Yeah.
So that's, that. To, anyway, to me, that feels like a more vulnerable space.
Yeah. It does.
Because I think from my perspective as well, even speaking, you know, because mm-hmm. some people will call that teaching, mm-hmm. but I think of it, and I don't know whether this is what you would mean by authenticity, but I don't know, I don't get to speak on behalf of God, right? But hopefully create space. I mean, all of us who speak from the front are trying to create space where God can speak.
In, right.
different ways to everybody, you know, and it's a vulnerable space that people then choose to come into or not. But
yeah.
What for you, like as a worship leader, what's changed, if anything, over the years as you've grown in leading worship, would you say?
I don't know. I mean, it's the more you work with the same people, the more you gel and learn each other and so, yeah, I don't think too much. I mean, obviously, during the time of COVID, that changed everything because yeah. I was basically listening to Brian in one ear and singing in my closet to get recordings out. You know, yeah. so that was very different
was,
and very separate from the people that you're hoping to.
Yeah.
But I can't really think of yeah. much more that's changed.
Well, again, thank you. I mean, I think to all the worship leaders and musicians, especially during COVID, you've all done an incredible job creating something out of nothing almost, yeah. you know, for us when we were all on Zoom and while we're back here. So thank you so much. Let's give Rebecca a round of applause. Thanks, Rebecca. Okay, so we're going to take communion together in a moment. Before there, just a few words about this whole concept of creativity, because I think we often think about creativity in terms of specific giftings like painting or music or whatever it might be. But I want to come back to that sense of us all being creative agents in the world in everyday life, that we have this capacity to partner with God. If we think of God and God's love as the most creative force in the universe that can just bring incredible healing, incredible reconciliation, then we get to partner in that. We have opportunities in every single situation. That might be in a personal situation of ours where we feel, again, thinking back to that first video we saw, we might feel crushed into a tiny space, but that tiny space is brimming with possibility, brimming with potential. Or it might be in a relational situation, whether that's, you know, our homes, at work, or whatever it is, where it just feels like we're at a dead end and there's no way forward. But as we partner with God, there's creative possibility. And if we look out for that and open ourselves to God, who knows what might happen. There's a scripture, I think, actually a very famous one in Romans 8, 28. This is what it says in the New American Standard Version. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And one other way of translating that from the original language is this way. I like this rendition. And we know that in all things, God works together with those who love him to bring about what is good. So there's that, I think in that alternative translation, there's more a sense of partnership with God rather than God's got this plan and it's just being played out. We get to partner with God. We get to engage with God in bringing healing into the world, whether that's in a justice situation, a personal situation, whatever it is. So as we take communion, we're actually, eat the bread and as we drink the wine together, and we've got stations at the back where we've got those set up, so everybody is welcome to take those elements and eat and drink this morning. As we do that, we're remembering Jesus who brought light out of darkness. I mean, Jesus turned this violence that was perpetrated on him into reconciliation and forgiveness. And we can look at people in history. I mean, we saw some examples of people in some of Kevin's artwork, of people who have taken violence and turned it into healing, taken it into reconciliation, taken it into liberation, and transformed something very creatively. And so we're celebrating that level of creativity that's embodied in Jesus, and that is part of the divine life. So we're kind of, maybe this morning we could particularly reflect on situations where maybe we've run out of ideas, where we've lost hope, where we feel like there's no way out or no way forward. And as we eat the bread, as we drink the wine, imbibe and ingest hope and possibility as we look at those various situations. Lots of other opportunities to respond this morning as well. We've got stations where you can write out a prayer. The little windows under Grow and Journey back there, you can write a prayer out, just stick it in the window. And that could be just a very personal, private heart cry, or it might be a request for some people to pray for you during the week. We'd really love to do that. There's stations where you can give a financial offering. We've got candles that can be lit at the back there. Candles, very often for us, represent hope, you know, light in darkness, and we can offer up a prayer, just a sentiment, a feeling of wherever we are right now. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song together. But as I finish praying, please feel free to get up, move around, and take part in this responsive time. Let's pray. God, we are grateful that we're here right now, in this moment, in this space, and you are here too. The mystery of the universe, the dynamism of the universe is present within us and around us right now. And we just want to take a moment to engage and become conscious of that and aware of that. And as we do so, in this moment, in this space, Lord, open our hearts to possibility, open our hearts to creativity. Open our hearts to yes. We ask that in your name. Amen.